P-minus 66. Hall of Memories, New Birchwood, New Kerguelen. Far sooner than he had expected to do so, one of New Kerguelen's most prominent engineers found himself knocking once more on the door of the planet's Hall of Memories. Kajil, trusted by senior messengers like few others in his younger generation, had hurried from his station in Sector Zero to break some truly remarkable news to Boone, the planetary historian who he in turn opted to trust over anyone else. With Leisha on Earth and Sacco still at the Great Shelter to ensure none of the planet's temporarily locked down citizens grew disruptive, Boone struck Kajil as the most appropriate point of contact to share this news with, just as he had slightly earlier in the day when preliminary data from the mothership's flyover had come in. That data had been interesting enough, with the mothership having shared observational data with ground-based machinery as soon as Leisha piloted it back through the gateway between New Kerguelen and the mysterious world of Sanctuary. During his very brief touchdown on the surface, Leisha had been experiencing too much urgency to reveal anything about that planet to Boone, the only other messenger he saw among the wreckage of New Birchwood, given that everyone beyond those serving essential purposes were locked down in the aftermath of unprecedented disorder. Kajil was one such essential worker, and his data so far amounted to the totality about what anyone on New Kerguelen knew of Sanctuary and what had happened during the visiting group's time there. So far, only he and Boone knew that Leisha's group had descended from the mothership in its self-contained saucer-like craft, or indeed that Sanctuary seemed to have an atmosphere which rendered it perfectly habitable for both humans and messengers. Since Kajil had first rushed to share this news with Boone, powerful computers in his workplace had been processing all manner of data and drawing some extremely specific conclusions about the world of Sanctuary. What carried him back now at the fastest pace of his life, however, was not a just completed computational calculation. Instead, it related to a data point that wasn't being automatically analyzed and which would have slipped under the radar if he hadn't been looking at something else in an area of his screen which allowed the incredible revelation to fall within his peripheral vision. Kajil couldn't hide his conflicted excitement as the door swung open and Boone beckoned him inside. "No," the young engineer said. "This time you're coming with me?" As Boone studied the unusual expression on Kajil's face, which seemed to be one of hesitation and was at odds with the body language of his bouncing feet and loose shoulders, he simply shook his head. "Why would you want me to go with you? You know I can't leave the artifacts. Guarding them is my duty. Explicitly so." "You're going to want to see what I found in the data," Kajil replied, growing anxiously impatient. "Trust me. Boone, trust me." "I do trust you, Kajil. That's why I don't need to see what you found. I just need to hear it." The younger messenger bounced with ever greater agitation. "You wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe it if you were telling me. I wouldn't think you were lying, just like you wouldn't think I was lying, but I would absolutely, positively, definitely think you had read the data incorrectly. This is something that doesn't make sense. Or more to the point, this is something that's going to utterly and eternally alter our conception of what does make sense."
"Boone, this is as big as the visit," Kajil said in a suddenly hushed tone, using the term messengers always did when referring to the first ever arrival of humans on New Kerguelen in the form of Dan McCarthy and Tara Ford. Boone narrowed his eyes.
"This is as big as the uncloaking," Kajil went on, this time referring to the moment when his planet's general population first learned the horrifying truth that their whole species had been deceived by another, the architects, for thousands of years, and worst of all, that the machines they had spent their whole lives viewing as elders were in fact nothing more than radio conduits to their distant deceivers.
"You could have told me by now," Boone said, growing impatient in his own right.
"If my father was still here, I would have taken this to him," Kajil said. "And if he was standing in this spot bringing it to you, you would follow without delay. Don't act like it isn't true."
The comment caught Boone entirely off guard, instantly transforming his feelings and expression of frustration into ones more befitting of the somber tone Khajiit adopted. The youngster's father had been a roundly respected engineer in his own right, highly prominent in his day, and remembered as much for his ability to bring typically antagonistic castes together as his excellent engineering work. The esteem in which he was still held was the principal reason why the squadron had chosen his son Khajiit as the engineer to man the computers in Sector Zero during the current planet-wide lockdown, and Boone knew that Khajiit wasn't one to bring up his father lightly. Life in his shadow couldn't be easy, and Khajiit's words brought that point home to Boone like never before. Khajiit was a proud and independent engineer, and Boone took his decision to evoke his father's memory as an act of desperation rather than manipulation. "I'll come," the planetary historian decided, stepping outside and securely locking the doorway to the precious hall of memories as he spoke. "But if this is a false alarm, or if you're overselling it—"
"Thank you," Khajiit said. "If you think we should take it to Sacco immediately, we'll do so. I'll defer to you, Boone. And believe me, this discovery would be impossible to oversell."
With his decision made to leave the Hall of Memories, Boone felt his hesitations and concerns lifting with every step. It took no small effort to keep pace with the younger and eager Khajiit, but Boone himself was growing more excited as he grew closer to Sector Zero.
"Do you have data proving they found life on Sanctuary?" he asked, calling ahead to Khajiit, as much to slow him down as to seek an answer.
This struck him as the most likely explanation for the nature of Khajiit's enthusiasm, which was positive in a broad but not unbridled sense, and which seemed suited to an individual who had discovered something more incredible than wonderful, more miraculous than marvelous.
"Oh, there's intelligent life on Sanctuary, all right," Khajiit replied, like this was the smallest side point in the world. "But that's nothing compared to this."